Everything's fine. Everything's fine.
Guys, everything is not fine. I just want to say Josh rejected me this morning.
No, I didn't reject you, Marnie.
You did reject me this morning. I asked Josh to go to breakfast before we recorded and his response was, I'm too tired to have breakfast with you. Go and have breakfast on your own and then I'll see you.
I didn't say go and have breakfast on your own.
That is what you said.
Made me sound like an awful person. Well, you're still here.
If the shoe fits.
You're here. I'm here. I can't be that bad.
I'm here. I'm full because I had breakfast by myself.
Well, I had breakfast by myself as well.
It doesn't make any sense.
Okay. Well, I did. I've decided, Marnie, because I'm slightly under the weather, not from a hangover or anything.
That's a change.
No, I think I barely drink. I've decided you can intro this podcast to give my subtle tones a rest, please.
Welcome everyone back to another episode of Further North. Josh and I were just airing our dirty laundry on air to kickstart today's episode.
Yeah.
But we're good. We're fine. We're fine. We're over it now. I'm clearly over it.
You're not over it.
I'll get there.
I can tell in Marnie's tone that she's not over it.
It's fine, guys. I'll get there. It's all good. all right. Welcome back. Today we are going to walk through our best 23 for the year.
Yes. Very exciting. What we're going to do is we're going to imagine that we are Alistair Clarkson. Okay. We're going to embody Clarko. All right. We're going to go. No, I'm not going to say that.
I don't know what you are. I'm scared of what you're going to say there.
I was going to say we're going to be inside Clarko. But then I realised that that's probably not okay.
No, I'd rather not.
Consensually.
Yeah, I'd rather not.
Anyway, this is going to a weird place. We're going to pretend that we are now the coach of North Melbourne. We're going to pretend round one is tomorrow and we need to pick our best 23 right now with the caveats of no injuries, no suspensions.
So it's really just on players obviously last season, and then it's how players have kind of performed in the off season and then in the match sims as well. I think we're kind of using a combination of all of that to put these teams together. There's a few interesting names I know I've got in my team.
Yeah, we don't know each other's teams.
Yeah, we haven't discussed this.
So I've written down my team, Marnie's written down her team, and then we're both going to compare and probably argue and fight and break up. So good luck. You guys are never going to see probably me again. To be fair, Marnie will take over because she's way more popular. So, yeah, you'll never see us in the same room again, except at the live show.
The live show.
Except at the live
show. For those who have bought tickets, thank you so, so much. We really appreciate it.
Absolutely.
If there are any tickets still on sale, there aren't many. So please, if you do want to come, get your hands on those because, we were overwhelmed. We almost sold out in the first day.
That's true, yeah.
Which it's something that, Josh and I spoke about the other week when we announced the live show. It's something neither of us ever thought that we would probably ever do. And it's going to be a great afternoon. We're really looking forward to it.
It will be fun. We've got some games and things planned, guys. It's going to be super interactive. So
we've got some games. We've got some guests. Obviously, Charlie Combin's coming down. We've also got the North Closer to a Flag guys. We've got some prizes, some surprises.
You didn't tell me. No, I didn't know. I planned it. So
yeah, I was going to say we planned this together.
I was there. We planned it.
And also, so the show starts at 2, but doors will be open from 1 o'clock. So definitely come down early, have a drink with us. We'll be there from 1. We'd love to meet you guys and, meet the people who make all of this possible, which is you.
Yes. Good drop at Bonehead as well. I'm not a massive beer guy. And when we went down there to scope the venue, I actually enjoyed the beer I got there. And I was like, oh, beer can be good.
So you're not just drinking it to flex and be like, I drink beer.
No. I'm a CC and dry guy for all of us non-beer drinking blokes. That's sort of what we go to. Or a Kraken and Coke. I don't mind it. But no, the beers down at Bonehead are good. And even I like them. So if I like the Bonehead beers, that means that if you like beer, you'll think they're probably the best beers on the planet. Which there I think is, that's just science.
That is just a great addition to what is already going to be a great afternoon.
Exactly. So doors at 1 p.m. Come down, have a drink with all of us, say hello and then bunk in for a podcast shortly after. So
we're very excited.
But enough chit chat.
Okay. Let's get on to the best 22. Mine's obviously correct.
We're gonna get you guys to vote as well. I might do a poll or something like that, and we'll pick whose team.
That makes me so nervous.
Yeah, because Don't just vote for Marnie because she's more popular than me. Trust me, my coaching insight in this brain. I played footy at the highest level.
I've never played
in
under 16s
in Tasmania. So
it's a big scalp from you.
You're talking to the 2011 Tasmanian goal kicking champion from the under 16s for the Tamar Cats.
Guys, I don't know. I can't believe I'm sharing a podcast with you.
Yeah.
The honour is mine, really.
It
truly.
Is. You know, I know. I'm fully aware of that. Okay, we'll just go from the full back line and we'll work our way up.
Yeah, can you say yours first?
Well, okay, well, we'll take it in sequential turn, Marnie. I'll say, then you can say the next one first.
My mum's calling me. Hold on.
Should we get Marnie's mum live on the podcast?
No, I'll call her later.
Okay. Could we get her on as a guest sometime?
Sure. I'm sure she'd love that.
Sorry
for that interruption in pre-one.
Very professional. All right, here we go. The full back line. Here's mine. I'm reading off this tiny little phone here. I have, and look, it doesn't matter if they're not in the exact same positions, let's say.
Okay.
It's like a back six as a whole.
Okay.
But we'll do the full back line first.
Okay.
I've got your friend Aiden Cole, which is surprising because everyone thinks I hate him so much. Charlie Combin and Jackson Archer.
Okay.
Do you want to say yours or do I just go back six?
Let's go back six maybe.
Then I've got Luke McDonald, Griffin Logue, and Zach Fisher. Now remember, this is pretending there's no injuries and no suspensions and all that sort of stuff. Just the listed players at their best.
Okay. So I've got Core.
Yeah, what a surprise.
He was obviously the first one in there. then I've got Logue and McDonald.
Yep.
And then I've got Fisher, Combin and McKercher.
So Jackson Archer's the only one?
Yes. So I've got McKercher for Archer.
Now, have you got Archer in your squad at all?
Let's wait till the end.
Wow. What a cliffhanger. Well, I guess there's not too much debate. This is a very soft start, Marnie. I thought we'd be yelling at each other already.
No. Well, I think we do have very similar opinions on these things.
Mm.
But I think that back line, with obviously the exception of Logue, because we won't see him for the first half of the year.
True.
I think it's a pretty predictable back line. We didn't have too many changes from the back of last year. Obviously, Zeeble's retired and we both expect Shees to push up sort of to the mid-forward part of the ground.
That is true.
When Fisher was first recruited, you know, the benefit of having him was he is that swing man. He can go forward and he can play back and probably cover that Sheasel role because we do expect Shees to come forward. And then I've put McKercher in my back line because I see him kind of having that same introduction to footy the same way Shees did, coming off the coming off half back and sort of running and rebounding the ball of half back to kind of let him learn. I think it's, you know, naturally you let a team learn attack first and then you teach them defense, but he obviously already has that skill. Well, that's what we would assume when we recruited him. So that's why I put him in defense, to kind of let him learn that skill.
Yeah.
So, you know, it creates two-way running, it improves work rate. So that's the decision for me to put him there.
For Jackson Archer, for me, we need a player like that so bad. And am I a little bit biased because his dad's my favorite player of all time? Yes.
Yeah, but we all have our biases, which you'll find out later in the in the show.
Great. I just really like what he brings, and I think he could be really, really good. I think he could be the closest thing to like a Jack Zeeble from last year, the one we had, hopefully kicking a little bit straighter. But, you know, I just really like what he brings, and I think if there was any player on our list that we could stick on a really good small forward, I'd probably trust him the most.
Yeah.
You know, and I really want him to get a run at it. I know he's injured at the moment again. So this seems to be a little trend in his pre-seasons, and I don't know if he'll find it hard to make it into the team or not. But if I was picking with no injuries and any of this stuff involved, I would be picking him because I don't think McDonald can do it, and there's definitely no one else on the list that I would.
Can I ask you a question though?
Yes.
Is that based on what he is currently or what you hope he becomes?
Sort of both. I think he was good when he played. I think he's got good hands. I think he attacks the contest a lot. I think he's athletic enough to be able to hang with someone. Is he going to be quicker than a, you know, Bobby Hill or someone like that? Probably not. But I don't know. He's committed, and I think he's got that grit you need to put a player off.
Mm.
I just think he can definitely get better. But like I've said for some other players in the team, you know, when they play, I've got to see like a moment. I've got to see enough there. Like obviously when Wardlaw played, every game he's like, oh, that guy probably got 30 touches. And he didn't. He got like 15. But every single time he was around the ball, something happened. And I think Jackson Archer was sort of similar where, I don't know, I didn't see him get beaten too often. I know there was a couple of times he did. And but he's young as well. And I just think I like the archetypal player here he is because it doesn't fit. It's a fit in the team that we don't have.
Okay, you're going to hate me for saying this because I know you don't rate the player I'm about to basket him with. But I put him in the Callan Dawson basket.
No.
No, hold on.
Because Callan Dawson, oh, I was about to say something mean too. Callan Dawson is closer to Aidan Bonner than he is to Jackson Archer.
In what world is he closer to Aidan Bonner?
He's just an undersized key defender that's probably not big enough to be able to go on a key forward, but he's also not small enough to be able to go on a small.
If you'd let me finish what I was going to say.
I've got to get a word in, Manny, because we know you like to talk.
I don't put him in the same bracket in terms of the kind of player that they are. What I mean by putting them in the same basket is I've seen enough from Callan Dawson to suggest that he could be a good player, but I don't have enough evidence yet to be like, yes, he will be a good player. That's how I feel about Jackson Archer. I've seen enough that I know there's potential there to become something, but right now I don't have enough concrete evidence to be like, yep, that guy's going to be a player, like I have with Wardlaw. Sheasel, we already know he's going to be a star. Yeah. But you know what I mean? Like that is my hesitation with Jackson Archer. I haven't seen enough. Now, I know he's had injuries. I know he hasn't had consistent game time. But in my mind, I haven't seen enough. Yes, there's potential, but I haven't seen enough to be like, yep, definitely going to be in the best, you know, 23 by the end of the year.
I think he's made a much bigger impact in the games he's played than someone like a Callan Dawson. I think Callan Dawson gets a lot of flowers for his last game and I thought it was a very, very 5.5 out of 10 AFL game. Like, was he bad? No. I think he suffers from the thing like we talked about, similar thing like with Jack Siebel last year. Jack Siebel set the bar so high from his career that if he does some things bad, everyone goes, oh, he's so bad. He's not 8 out of 10 every week. And then guys an early Aiden Core, not the last 2 months, but we know like he set the bar so low that if he does a couple of things that are good, people go, look how good he is now. And I think he sort of suffers from that. Like Callan Dawson, to me, hasn't really done much to show me that he's going to be an AFL player, but people seem quite high on him. And I think it consensually, if we went up to all the North fans and said, out of Biggie, Pink and Callan Dawson, who's going to get that third tall at the start of the year with Logan? I think nearly everyone says Callan Dawson, but he'd probably be the last one for me personally.
Yeah, but I think when so obviously he came in the mid-season draft, what, 2 seasons ago now, and he had about 4 games in a row and he looked all right.
He was fine. Like
he looked
all right, okay.
but that was on the back of no AFL preseason. That was, you know, coming into aside just to fill a role. And so the fact that he didn't get the opportunity last season, like I think a lot of us thought he did with a preseason under his belt, you just don't know.
Yeah, I agree.
I've seen bits and pieces to suggest that he could be a really good player and I'm sure we'll find out early on in the year because no doubt he's going to have a run in defence with Logue sidelined. But I just, that's how I feel about Archer. I just feel like I haven't seen enough yet for me to be like a certified.
Oh, I agree. I don't think he's a nailed on because you got like Bergman and Goeder and like maybe they'll come into the team later. But, you know, they're a different sort of player. I think the main, say Jackson Archer was like a halfback, I would probably put Bergman and Goeder over him.
Yeah, okay.
But because I wouldn't be like, hey, Bergman, go and tag Charlie Cameron or something like that. I would trust Jackson Archer to be able to do that more. And I think maybe he doesn't have quite as high a bar or potential or hasn't shown quite as much as a Bergman or a Goeder or someone like that yet, but he's a very different sort of player. So I think that's where my brain went to, only because he's that sort of player. If he was a running halfback, I don't think he's in this team.
Yeah,
but
okay.
He's an Archer. I love Glenn Archer so much. And I don't know. I really do think in the games that he played, he was pretty decent. And I just think he'll be good.
Okay.
I just think he'll be good.
I guess we'll wait and see. Watch this space.
Thank God. We actually got an argument in. Awesome. Because I thought that was going to be a soft one, Marnie. Now, okay.
There's always room for an argument between us.
There'll be plenty more to come. Do we want to talk about who we would, really quick, I know we talked about this before, but like, do we want to talk about who we would put in over Logue because he's not going to play?
I am actually really happy to go with Kaur and Comben as a 1-2 punch to start.
And no other tallish player?
If we were going to go for a third, I'd probably go for Dawson to start with. But I've said this a few times now, Aiden Kaur plays so much better when it's just him and one other tall. And I think Kaur, obviously everyone knows, I think Kaur's upside is probably, and I don't think I'm wrong in saying that Kaur's upside is probably got Dawson, Biggie and Pink covered.
Yeah. No,
so I'm more than happy just to give the two of them a hit out as a 1-2.
If we play a Geelong or like a Carlton who have two key forwards, plays though?
Well, yeah, so I'd have Dawson. Go Dawson first.
Because I wouldn't be putting Kaur on any key forward. I think he's good in like, if Kaur was like 10 centimetres shorter, he's got the game to be a shorter player.
Yeah.
But he's too tall for the type of player that he is.
Mm.
So he's awkward to put on a forward because he'll get bullied by any medium grade 200 centimetre forward. But as we know from his disgusting sidestep against the Saints, we know he's got the agility and skills of a halfback. I bet you do, mate.
Yeah, I do. I really
bet
do.
You do. For the record.
Yeah, who would you put?
From the training reports and everything, I'm going Biggie.
Okay.
I'm absolutely going
You're
Biggie.
You're on the Biggie train.
I fully am. I reckon he's going to get in the team this year and I reckon he's going to be good.
Also, I just want to say one thing before we move on. This is who we've kind of picked as our, if tomorrow, as Josh said, was round one and everyone was available.
Yes.
It's not to say that we don't think other players will come in and out of the side at some point during the year, but this is on first glance who we would go
who
for.
Do we think? Who do we think is our best 23 right now in our opinion if we were the coach?
Yeah.
And no injuries, no suspensions.
Cool.
Things like that.
Great.
I'm on the Biggie train. Finbar keeps getting played in the back line apparently in the match sims.
I actually low-key love him. I'm so excited for him to play next year.
Yeah, you're going to be a Finbar.
I'm a Finbar stan.
There's the next badge you're going to get. It's going to be Hugh, Jasper.
Ooh, it's a really,
and Finbar.
It takes a lot to get to badge level. I only have two. Jasper and Hugh Greenwood are the only two badges I have. I think Kaur would be next if I was to
get
another one.
That's wild, mate. No, I want to move on. I don't want to talk about this.
Okay, all right, let's move on.
That's disgusting.
Too much for you.
It's just a bit too much for me.
I wonder if they still sell Dan Howe badges.
Okay, we're moving on. you can maybe get one for Claremont or wherever he's playing now.
Like a discount, like a bargain bucket at the Roo Shop. Okay, we're moving on.
Okay.
I don't want to bully Dan Howe.
So good luck next season, Dan Howe. Just the center line? Or do we throw the followers in as well? Like the midfield three and the wingers? Do we
go? Yeah, okay, let's do that.
Midfield three and wingers. No ruckman just yet because that's going to be a fun topic. So across the midfield, on the wing, Bailey Scott.
Mm-hmm.
Wardlaw for me right in the gut.
Mm-hmm.
And Dylan Stevens on the other wing.
Mm-hmm.
I think let's just chat about wingers quickly before we say the other two. Is there any debate here?
No, I've also got Stevens and Scott.
I think they're nailed on.
They're locked.
I could see an Eddie Ford or someone.
Like floating through?
Floating through.
I agree with you.
I could see like a Fisher pushing up or like, you know, things like that. But realistically, Stevens
and
Scott.
In an ideal world, the two of them play.
Yeah.
Week in, week out, yeah.
So the midfield, so Wardlaw obviously I've got. Now, I have put Taron Thomas in there and I've got Luke Davies Uniac.
So I've got, I also have LDU and Thomas, but in the centre instead of Wardlaw, I've got Simpkin.
Okay, so Wardlaw maybe starting on the bench or something?
We'll have to wait and see.
That's wild to me. Wardlaw, I love George Wardlaw.
I know you love George Wardlaw.
I love him.
I think that Simpkin is the captain and Simpkin has to lead from the front.
I actually agree with that, but I don't think he is. Like obviously Thomas pending outcome of his
course,
situation, there would be other people in there.
So
but
yeah, I've got Simpkin in that midfield line, like alongside Stevens and Scott. And then I've got LDU and Thomas to round that out. Mm. Simpkin has to start every week right in the middle. He's got to be the guy.
I do agree with this.
He's got to be the one to fire them up.
But if he wasn't the captain, and I think he's really good, I think say, you know, once again, suspensions and injuries and everything aside, Wardlaw, Thomas, Davies, Uniac are our best three midfielders. But I think Sheezer's going to get a lot of time in there and I think like Zerha's going to go in there. But I would put Simpkin as that fourth one. So he's not far out of there and he's going to get so many midfield minutes. Just because he's not in the initial three doesn't mean he's not going to be in the midfield all the time. But
yeah, I'm not saying that. But right now, he is the captain.
Mm.
And while I love what George Wardlaw's brought to the table and don't get me wrong, I love George Wardlaw, but I think it has to be Simpkin. Because if he wasn't the captain, that's not a discussion. He is a co-captain.
He is.
So he's got to be the one to lead the charge. And I think that he's got to start in the middle every week.
Okay.
That's what I think anyway.
And you and Thomas and LDU over Wardlaw then?
Yeah.
I love George Wardlaw.
I'm not – when have I ever said I don't love George Wardlaw?
I'm not saying you don't love George Wardlaw. I'm just saying I love him a lot. You can talk about Hugh and Finbar. Let me have my one guy.
No, of course – your one guy.
And
plus,
Biggie,
plus. I know we all have our favourites, don't get me wrong. Yeah, everyone knows, and I'm not, like I said, I'm not taking that away from you. I'm just thinking about the team as a whole. We need leadership, and it's such a young team. Now, I'm going to be devil's advocate on my own comment.
Ooh, watch
because George Wardlaw has shown incredible leadership traits in the time that he has been in the side, and he often has been the one to step up.
But to make something happen when it needs to happen.
Yes, but I think that, and we spoke about this last time, Zeeble's gone. And so I think it really, and I'm not, I love Jack Zeeble and I loved everything he did for the club. But we had this discussion that maybe Zeeble being there, you know, it doesn't let Simpkin and McDonald really step up and lead because they've always got someone there who can fill that role. But I think he's gone now and they really have to take that responsibility, take it with two hands and say, yep, we're here, we're your captains and really take ownership and lead. And I think that Simpkin in the middle is the best way for him to do that.
Yeah, I do agree with that. I do agree with that. I would stick with my three, but I agree with him being the captain needing to be in there and stepping up after the year he had last year, which wasn't a bad year, but it was just down on what he's done before.
Yeah, I think we have this expectation, again, of these players and we want to see them reach that. So I hope that he really can come back fit and firing. And I think he will. I think he will bounce back, Simpkin, this year.
And I guess we'll jump back into talking about midfielders maybe through the bench and stuff like that. And
some
honourable mentions of players who didn't quite get in. Do we move to forward line or do we want to talk about the ruckman?
Let's go forwards first.
Leave him on a cliffhanger. all right. I've got Eddie Ford. Zerha at centre half forward. Schiesel.
Yeah.
On the other half forward.
Yep.
Paul Curtis.
Yep.
Nick Larkey. And Zane Dersma.
Okay, so mine looks a little bit different.
Here we go.
So I've got Ford.
Yep.
CCJ.
Oh, wow.
I really know how to get to him. Getting his good side and bad side really easily. Yeah. So I've got Ford, CCJ and Schiesel. And then it actually looks quite tall looking at it. Again,
Marty regrets what she's done.
No, I don't regret it at all. And then I've got Greenwood, Larky, Zerha.
Wow. Okay.
I love Hugo.
Yeah, just like I love Wardlaw. Now you understand me, Marty. Okay.
On first glance, looking, it looks really tall. I've actually gone really tall.
Very tall. Yeah.
But it's fine. I'm sticking with it.
Okay.
I got about half an hour's notice, by the way, to put this
together. Don't blame this on me.
I went to sleep at 9:30 last night and I wake up this morning at 7 and Josh has texted me at 10 being like, hey, by the way, I think tomorrow we should go through our best 22.
Yeah, well, I had some stuff to do through the week and I forgot. So, you know, we're here now, Marnie, and you don't have to blame it on me and make me all upset on the podcast.
Well, I am. So
that is true. Nah.
But I also am not upset about it because I think that
you came in with a fresh mind.
All of them do have a place.
There's lots of players, yeah. Yeah, I agree. Well, look, Schiesel for me, obviously moving forward because of Fisher, but I think Schiesel's going to get so many minutes in the midfield this year. He's too skillful to be playing this forward line role that everyone thinks he might go into for me. I reckon he'll nearly be a full-time midfielder. Or he's going to play that role of like half forward that pushes into the midfield.
I think
just like the half backs sort of push into the midfield.
Thomas and Zerha could probably rotate through.
Yeah, I think Simpkin as well. I think Simpkin will play more forward.
Push up a little bit.
This year as well. He's a pretty good shot at goal. And I do think Wardlaw, Thomas and LDU going forward is our best midfield. So Simpkin can still play a key role. Once again, we'll get so many midfield minutes. But I could see those four sort of half forward but pushing into midfield as much as they can. Zerha's another interesting one. Like, did I toss up a CCJ in the forward line? Absolutely. But with other selections maybe that I've made, I feel like North will go with a smaller forward line.
Yeah, well.
And Zerha's not small, but and Dersma is about that 189, 190. Zerha's about the same. Zerha's obviously, he's slimmed up a little bit, but we know how tough he is. I don't know. It kind of worked. Like, look at the year Larky had with those other guys around him.
Yeah, but the thing is with Larky, like, and I don't want to jinx it, but what if something happens to him?
He's an Iron Man.
I think we need to get games into CCJ in the forward line because I really think that at the moment he's obviously that second choice. Initially when I did this, I actually had Greenwood at centre half forward and I had CCJ not in the side at all.
Not on the Further North podcast.
But I just don't think that's a smart thing at the start of the year. The thing with Greenwood is, and obviously there's bias showing, but we all have our biases. However, by all reports, he's really adapted well to that kind of forward role over the last couple of match sims.
Yeah.
And I still think that he has enough upside that he really can still be a part of the 23 moving forward. Mm. I know there's a lot of people who probably disagree with me given the age profile and things like that, but I think it's important still to have that mature head. Again, I know I'll just contradict what I've said about 5 minutes ago.
Yeah,
he
fantastic.
Is a really good leader. And I know that I really want to demand McDonald and Simpkin to step into that leadership role, but he's an excellent leader and he showed that multiple times throughout the year last season and I would like him to kind of continue that. The other one for me is Paul Curtis. I have left him out of my side. I'll spoiler alert completely. I haven't got him in the 23 at all.
That's wild.
Because he's unreliable. And I think that if you want an X-factor player, I think Zerha on his day can provide that.
Yeah, but they're so different though.
I know they're different. I know they're so different. I think they bring different things.
I think Paul Curtis can be the best out of all of them. Maybe not Dersma because we haven't seen enough yet, but I think it's close with Zerha.
I actually agree with you. He's got that X factor. He has that superstar potential, but that's the word. It's potential. I know if I've got Eddie Ford in my side, he's kicking at least 1 to 2 goals a week.
And beyond that,
he's always in the game. Whereas I think Paul Curtis, his best and his worst are so far apart still. He's way too inconsistent for me.
I'd say Eddie Ford is a more consistent player. I think from where the team's at now, we have to bank on potential a bit more. I'd rather be going out there, especially round one, banking on the most talented players other than the most consistent. You know what I mean? I think we've got to try everything we can to unlock the potential in these guys because at the end of the day, they're the people that if they click are going to be taking us into the finals. I don't know. I think Paul Curtis is way too talented and his second half of the year was pretty solid. Not the most reliable kick all the time, but I don't know. I think it's wild leaving him out of the entire side.
Of course. Like I said, there's
even as a sub off the bench.
Well, there's going to be things that people that, you know, I think people won't agree with. I'm sure there's things people won't agree with that you say either. And I'm not saying that we're right. We're obviously not experts. It's just an opinion.
Well, you're not an expert, Marnie.
But for me, I still. It is wild leaving him out of the side.
It's wild. That's wild.
I know. But again, it's. That gap needs to be closed for me to be like, yep, he's a. And I'm not saying he's not going to come into the side.
We like the hot takes, Marnie. He could start controversial.
He could start in the 23 and play all season. I've got no doubt that there's a really good chance that he'll do that. But like I said, right now, that I want that gap closed before I'm like, yeah, I want him in every single week. But I do agree with you that I think he could be the best of the bunch. I just want to say more.
Do you have Dersma in your forward line? Read your forward line one more time for me.
Hold on.
Okay, sorry. Holding on.
I've got Ford, CCJ, Sheezel, and then I've got Greenwood, Larky, Zerha. It is too tall. I can acknowledge that. And like I said, late notice, I've kind of just thrown this together.
My fault once again.
But it's based on everything that we know up until now. And I'm not saying that these guys won't get a game throughout the year. And like I said, I'm not saying what I say is right or Bible, but it's just an opinion.
Who is your ruckman then?
Tristan Cherry. I actually like hate myself for saying that. This is the best 23 for the year and I've gone with Tristan Cherry as my ruckman.
I haven't put Tristan Cherry in the 23 at all.
Are you mad?
No, I'm not. I'm smart because I watch football. And I'm telling you, Marnie.
I'm defending Tristan Cherry right now.
He's not... What I've done here is I've put Greenwood on the bench, right?
Okay.
Because I think that Greenwood will play a lot forward, mm-hmm. and I needed someone to be able to go into the ruck.
Okay, so you put CJ as your...
Yeah, I've put Coleman Jones as my ruckman because I just think he's got so much more upside than Tristan Jerry. I know Jerry is more of a typical ruckman. But I
love
don't,
this from you. This is so rogue.
But I don't think that matters anymore in the AFL. Like yeah. there's just no place in 2024 for a big lumbering ruckman. And this isn't something I'm going to go on about today because I know that people disagree with me on this and all that sort
we've
of stuff.
We've spoken it. We've actually spoken at length.
And I'm not – I just don't want to be the guy who goes on about this all the time. So I'm not going to talk about Tristan Jerry and what he doesn't do. I'm more going to talk about Callum. I think he – obviously can go forward. I think realistically if in round one, well, I guess his eye socket's exploded now, but like, you know, I know Tristan Jerry will be the number one ruckman. I know that. I don't like it, but I know that.
Yeah.
I think Coleman Jones absolutely should be the backup forward to Larky because I think Coleman Jones's upside is good. I know he hasn't proven it to a lot of people yet and maybe I'm jumping the gun on him, but once again, he's had games that have made me go, that's what he can do.
Yeah.
But realistically, I just don't think we've got place in the team to have a guy who's not going to produce in the midfield and in the middle. And I just don't think Jerry's going to do that. Coleman Jones can tap the ball to our players. And then I know, he's a bit of a giraffe when it comes to picking the ball up off the ground, but Jerry's absolutely no better at that.
No, he's not.
At least Coleman Jones can go into the forward line if he has to. And we can move him around a little bit more. Is Coleman Jones my ideal ruckman? No. But I think as a structure of the team, the way I thought about it, him and Greenwood sort of doing the rucking, I would trust more than Tristan Jerry and a Coleman Jones
I
rotating.
Love, this is probably your most iconic moment on the podcast. I actually love this from you.
I believe it. Like I do. And look,
I would love to see that, but it's not going to happen.
I know it's not going to happen. I know it's not going to happen and I know –
That's why I've put Cherry as my number
I know,
one
but you're the coach, Marnie, and I'm the coach. And when I think about it structure-wise, I would rather players that can rotate around and we can make change. And I think Greenwood seems to be doing a lot of rucking in the match sims, especially in the forward line. And I originally – you're not going to like this. I originally didn't have Greenwood in the 23.
Get out.
He was incredibly close and absolutely can be in the 23 and I would have no problem with him being in the 23 because I think he's very good. But –
You've put him there.
I've put him there now because
he makes sense.
Yeah, I agree. That's why I've put him in. But because that's why I would trust a Coleman Jones and Greenwood ruck forward rotation more than Tristan Jerry rucking nine of the game and not getting any taps to advantage and marks and then Greenwood going in and where do we stick Tristan Jerry? You know what I mean? We can't put him in the forward line.
Anyway. That's where I'd have him.
But. In the seconds. So, you know, I know that's going to be incredibly unpopular and I'm going to get roasted in the comments like I always do about it.
I love it.
But I honestly, for the team structure, I just think Greenwood and Coleman Jones rotation in the ruck, even if they ruck 60-40 and they can both go in the forward line and produce in other areas of the ground and to actually take a mark, I think that's better for the team going forward. And I'm not just doing it because of my Tristan Jerry dislike. He seems like a fantastic bloke and I hope he becomes an All-Australian ruckman. But from what I've seen for his career and trainings and things like that, I know he has a good preseason every year. I would much rather go with that if I am the coach. And people knew this was coming. If anyone thought I was putting Tristan Jerry in here, you haven't listened to my podcast before. But that is my explanation. I don't want to go on about it much more because people are sick of hearing me talk about Tristan Jerry. But I think structure-wise, I would be more excited about Coleman Jones and Greenwood rotating forward and ruck for the game.
I sucked up my pride and put him in there, but I absolutely love that from you.
Yeah.
I'm all about it.
Mm.
And I'd love that to come true, to be honest, but time will tell.
Okay. My bench.
I think this is going to be where the disagreements
Well, that's
come.
What the people come here for.
Okay. Let's hear it.
Will Phillips,
mm-hmm.
Greenwood's on my bench,
mm-hmm.
Jai Simkin,
mm-hmm.
and Colby McKercher.
I can't believe you've got Jai Simkin on the bench.
Yeah, it's gross, isn't it?
Yeah, that's
But and this was right. My thinking here, Marnie, was okay. He can't go on a wing.
Yep.
I think Wardlaw Thomas and David Junak is our most talented midfield. Mm-hmm. I do agree with you with being the captain, he should be in there. But if we're just going on play, say no one was captain, you know, in a hypothetical world, they're the three best ones for me.
Yep.
Half forward, realistically, Eddie Ford's probably not playing in the first few rounds. I'd probably put Simkin on the half forward line pushing into the midfield.
Yeah.
She's has got to be in the best 22.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, you know, Simkin's also not going to play in a forward pocket or anything like that because he is too good in the midfield. So, yeah, I think it's really bad that he has to be on the bench, but he can easily come out this year and prove me very wrong. Not that he needs to prove me wrong. He's going to play so many – like even if he's on the bench, he's going to play so many minutes in the midfield.
Yeah, of course. But I just wouldn't start him on the bench. But again, that's your team, not mine.
Exactly, Marnie.
My bench, and this is – there'll be a couple – I'll get a couple.
I don't know. What have you done?
So I've gone Wardlaw and Phillips.
Wardlaw's too good to be on the bench anyway.
Then I've gone Brayden George.
Wow.
And I've gone Darcy Tucker. And I know I came on this podcast 2 weeks ago and said if Darcy Tucker is in our best 23 in the long term, I'd be concerned. However, he has been like the best player in the match sims. And he has actually just blown the socks off everyone. It's actually impossible to leave him out. How can you leave him out? If he's had that white hot start of a year, I just don't think you can leave him out.
Well, I would – my reason – I agree. Like I've heard, you know, from the Arden Street mole himself that Darcy Tucker was taking the piss basically in the match sims.
Yeah, I mean, I'm all for it.
I just don't think he's got much more of an upside at all. I think he sort of is what he is. If maybe he can take another step if this match sim stuff is real. Like I'm sure when you come against actual – you know, other opposition AFL players, it's probably not going to be as simple. But a guy like Adersma has way more upside and we have to unlock that potential for our forward line.
I'm backing him in. There's got to be a reason. When he left Fremantle, Freo fans were devastated. There's got to be a reason for that.
Were they devastated?
Yes, they were upset. They didn't want him to leave.
They're upset because they follow Fremantle, Marnie. They have to look at purple on their jerseys.
Don't mock Fremantle. I love Freo.
Yeah, but you also love Aiden Cole.
Like majority of the fan base do. You're the outlier here with that. Anyway, back to Tucker. We're talking about Aiden Cole or Fremantle. Okay. But I really think that if he is playing so well and he's performing as well as all reports have him, how can you leave him out to start the year? I don't think you can.
Look, like I said, I don't disagree. But the way I would want my team to be structured is more on potential than current form for round one. And then we can see if it's real or not, then you can start dropping people for more consistent players. But I'm way more willing to bank on potential than I am consistent 6 to 7 out of 10 every week. I'd rather throw a Paul Curtis in and either get 9 or 10 out of 10 or maybe a 3, but at least there's the chance for them to fire and do something.
I want Tucker
big.
Watch this year. I'm going to watch him really closely and see how he goes.
Marnie's on Tucker Watch.
Tucker Watch. That's my new thing.
She's hungry. Wowee.
The other one is Brayden George. Again, I think the noise around Brayden George is too hard to ignore. It's really hard and it's hard.
Over Adersma though.
Well, this is the thing. It's hard to put either of them in there without really knowing what they're going to be.
Can I suggest that,
we haven't seen anything from either of them to suggest anything at this point. Like I said, it's all based on talk at the moment.
Yeah, but Dersma's probably been better in the match sims though, right? Like Dersma kicked 4 and then kicked 2.
Yeah, but I just think that there's a
reason. Brayden George only played one of the matches.
But there's a reason why the hype around him has been so high. And this is, we're talking hype from the middle of last year. You can't ignore it.
Again, I guess Dersma's definitely more ready to play around one though with how his body's been. He's had the full preseason, that sort of stuff. But I know what you're saying. I know that, you know, the big sausage is
he's someone that's really excited fans to this point. And like I said, I'm coming back to the fact, come for us, whatever. We're not experts. It's just an opinion. But I think that he is, and I've left Paul Curtis out of the side, but he is someone that can generate a lot of excitement and a lot of X factor as well. So do we want to give that a go?
I can't,
instead.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like,
do you not think, though, Paul Curtis would be more consistent than Braden George?
I don't know, because I haven't seen Braden George play. It's just a gut feel.
Yeah, but if you're going for like a Darcy Tucker, where it's more like, you know, he's playing well and you know that he's going to be at least decent, I don't know. I feel like that maybe follows that trajectory more. I don't know. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean, but I think that Darcy Tucker's been good.
Mm.
Right. He's been good, and now the reports are that he's going to get better.
Mm.
Anyway, like I said, it's all hypothetical.
No, look, I respect your team,
I've just
Marnie.
I've thrown something together.
I respect your team.
Like it or not.
Well,
there's nothing I can really do.
I like
about
most
that.
Of it. I'm just saying, like, I think the Paul Curtis one is wild. I think that's, and look, this is what we want. We need wild takes here. We can't just all have the same 23 and everyone goes, oh, they agreed on everything. That's a boring podcast.
I think overall the most controversial thing so far is actually you leaving Sherry out of the side. I can't believe I'm defending this man. Anyway.
I don't know how he goes in the side. The only reason he goes in the side is because we don't have other options that blow people's minds. He's not in the side because he's the best, like, option for it. Not in my opinion. Like, you know, I know most people think Jerry will be the best option in the ruck. I know
no,
people
he's
don't
not,
like.
Though.
I know he's not, but I. But
the best option walked.
R.I.P. Todd. R.I.P. Todd.
I'm here to have it a nerve here.
When Marnie came over today to record the podcast, I was re-watching the round 23 game against the Gold Coast and I saw Todd Goldstein in a North Melbourne jumper and I got
emotional. Just cried. We both cried. It was hard to
R.I.P.
watch.
R.I.P. Kane Turner. Sub. What are you looking at me like that for?
Because I know you're about to kick me out of your house. I've gone Charlie Lazaro as the sub.
No, I like Charlie Lazaro. Once again, all reports, he's played very, very well in
the
match.
Here's
the
thing with Charlie. Oh, hold on. Who did you go for your sub?
Jaden Stevenson.
Okay, interesting. Mm. I've gone with Lazaro because Charlie Lazaro, when he's a midfielder, and when he plays
he
in the midfield, he's fantastic.
I think you've got too many midfielders though, because another thing I was going to bring.
Well, have you seen the side? All he's done is draft midfielders for the last
true.
5 years. What else am I supposed to do?
That is true. That
what
is
else
true.
Can I do?
You chat to Brady about that.
Yeah, I will. I'm going to call him up after this.
One thing I was going to say about Tucker that I forgot to say before is, like, I'm not sure, like, Tucker, I didn't like Tucker off halfback. I thought it was pretty average. His disposal off halfback when he played last year was pretty poor. In the forward line, I think he was better because he's a little bit of a bigger body, but you know, I think ideally he should probably be playing in the midfield. I don't really like him anywhere else. So that's why, like, a Paul Curtis to me, I know we've got a lot of half forwards as well, but I feel like half the half forwards can push into the midfield.
My team is disproportionate on size. We know that. I've just tried to put squares into holes, round holes.
Yeah. Square pegs in round holes, money.
Yes,
it's a hard saying, don't get me wrong.
Yes. So that is coming back to Lazaro. I know I've got too many of anything, but again, so does this side. In overall, the North Melbourne list is way too many midfielders. But I think with Charlie Lazaro, his upside, when he actually gets time in the midfield, he's really good. I think he's too good to play VFL.
Yeah, I agree.
But
yeah.
In the past, all we've done is tried to fit him in places where he doesn't fit.
But when how much chance, if he's the sub like this, is he going to get enough chance to show that in like a last quarter or something like that? And if he gets subbed in the last quarter, I don't know how many. Look, I would personally be saying we're probably not going to be ahead by many points in a lot of these games next season.
Not
so,
with that attitude, we won't be.
Well, that is true. It's solely on my attitude, depending if we win games.
Is that why we've lost so many?
Yes.
I assume so.
I don't know. I like Charlie Lazaro, and I've said this a lot about other players that almost like the Jackson Archer thing where you've got to have a moment or a game that makes me go, that's what they can do.
Did you not have that in round 23 last year?
That's what I'm saying. That was the one for me with Charlie Lazaro. This is positive Lazaro chat. Like, I think that was the time where I'm like, that's the first time in his career that's not VFL that I've seen him on an AFL field and been like, he's good and he can play at this level.
Because he played in his actual position.
I agree.
Mind-blowing
stuff. But then realistically, you'd have to take someone else out to give him that many minutes. That he only played in there for that long because there was no Wardlaws and no Zerhas going through the middle and no LDU in the last round and all this sort of stuff. And unless – I just don't think he gets the enough opportunity to show what I believe he can do as well unless we have injuries and suspensions and stuff like that. So – I think he could be a good impact player as a sub, but I think I kind of want someone else who's not a midfielder as a sub. The sub rule in general is a weird one for me because I kind of felt like nearly every sub, I feel like for every AFL team was like a midfielder.
Yeah.
And I don't think putting another midfielder on changes the game at all.
Well, I think Zeeble was a really good sub for us when he...
Because he played in the back line and he can go and change something in the back line or go forward or something like that. Yeah. I think subs as midfielders is stupid.
The one hard thing with Lazaro, particularly as a sub, again, I'm going to backtrack what I've just said. He's probably not versatile enough to be a sub.
That's almost my point was so like if he's not playing in the midfield, which I don't think he'll get the chances because he's got so many talented midfielders, if we did have to put him on a wing or a forward half or back half, I don't know if he can do it. But if we had no midfielders, say we'd done the opposite and we'd just drafted heaps of key position players and forward pockets and things, I reckon he could absolutely play in our midfield. But once again, like a Tom Powell.
Yeah.
You know.
I've left him out too.
Yep. Will Phillips like needs his opportunities on top of the four or five, like Sheasel, I think, and Zerha are going to be in there a lot. You know, I agree with like your pick as that player. I just wouldn't see how he would get in there and get enough minutes to maybe show his potential.
Well, I think this is the problem with the way we've recruited over the last 3, 4, 5 years. I mean, we've got two or three spots on our list where we are so talent heavy and we've got so many opportunities that a guy like Charlie Lazaro hasn't been able to actually play in the midfield week in, week out and show, you know, what he's capable of doing. And then on the flip side, you've got, you know, ruckmen who aren't even ruckmen coming in as, you know, because we don't have a better option.
Yeah.
So I think it's really just a discussion around where the list is at and where we think the team's at. I mean, forget if I've gone too tall or if I've got, you know, in the forward line, if I've got too many midfielders there, it's a problem because it's actually just picking players on talent. And if we're looking, and that is, I've tried to keep it balanced, but it's so hard because the list isn't balanced.
No, that is true.
And that's made it a really difficult task. Anyway, talk to me about Steve-O.
Jane Stevenson deserves his shot in the 23 after his season last year. I know second half, maybe less, maybe even like the last third of the year, not as good.
Yeah.
Obviously he broke his hand, I think. I don't know. I think he's talented. People write him off because of that one Buddy Franklin moment personally. And David Noble almost ruined his career. I like Jane Stevenson. I like his chat about wanting to be a leader, apparently taking Dersmer under his wing. He's been in the league long enough now. I think his first half, if not more of last year, was really, really good. He was our second highest goal scorer. So even like maybe backtracking myself on the Paul Curtis thing, I think Paul Curtis probably kicks more goals than him this year, but he didn't last year. And I think he deserves the shot round one more than the other guys would.
I did have Stevenson in there originally and then I took him out and I can't remember why. Could have been a CJ thing. So, you know, I did that for you.
Thank you so much. I just think he deserves it. I don't know. I like Jane Stevenson. I think he's got a bit about him. And, you know, I think I've talked a lot this week about my main big take that I tell people at the barbershop is North Melbourne will finish above Hawthorn because I think Hawthorn is so, so overrated.
I'm nervous about how much you're talking about this because it may come back to bite you really badly.
Absolutely. And I'm more than willing to. Like, do I really think that Hawthorn will finish below North Melbourne? If I was betting money, probably not. But I think there's a massive, massive chance of it. And I do think Hawthorn are massively overrated. I think Hawthorn will be bottom four and it's no questions asked.
Yeah.
As an example, I think the general public would see Stevenson and Jack Ginnivan as the same archetypal sort of player. But Steve-O has matured past a lot of that immaturity that Ginnivan has. You know, Stevenson, I don't think, is out on the bags on weekends. And he had that flashiness about him and was in a good team so he could shine. But I think he's learning that he's got to put in a shift at a worse club.
I think so. And I think his first half of last year was excellent.
Yeah. So I just think he deserves the chance off that. And I think his mindset's right now and maybe the last year, especially with Clarkson there from what he talked about last year. So look, he could easily be one that maybe doesn't stay in the 23. But like we've said, with Curtis and Dersmer and Steve-O and Zerha and Ford and Sheasel maybe going down there or Braden George, there's so many options. And he is a little bit of a victim of that overcrowded sort of position. But I don't know. I think he deserves a chance.
I don't disagree.
And I like where his head's at and where his attitude's at the last couple of years. To come back from that, like any of these players coming back from that David Noble season, like the mentality has to be strong because
of course
that was the worst
traumatic
time in
for everyone involved. Trust me, I felt it in my soul.
Yes, your bones.
So I've just gone, like, I've got an almost and then just some others. My almost, and I had all of these players in my side at one point before I landed on where I landed,
yeah,
was Steve-O, Paul Curtis, Dersmer and Archer. So I did have all of them in there at some point, and I just, this is what I've gone with. Like I said, right, wrong, whatever. That is what I landed on.
Mm.
And then just some others. We've got Goda, we've got Bergman, we've got Hanson Jr., we've got Curtis Taylor is another one I think is going to be a really interesting one, and Tom Powell as well.
Yes. I mean, looking at my list here, because I've had to get this up on the computer now, I think Bergman was Bergman and Goethe were probably the two that missed out the closest for me.
Yeah.
I
actually think also the two of them as a 1-2 punch are really, really good.
Yeah, I like them.
Because we had them start last year against West Coast.
Yeah, I mean, I would have no problem.
Worked really well.
It's hard because I really like Miller Bergman. I feel like I would take Bergman over Goethe, but I feel like they're pretty not the similar type of player, but I think they're similar potential wise.
Yeah.
But I think they've got a little bit more to prove. I don't know. I thought Bergman was really good the first half of last year because what did he come in originally when he broke his shoulder or like dislocated his shoulder? He was like a key defender. And then they put him on the half back as like a really clean using – a clean ball user off the half back line. And I thought he was really good. Like he had a bunch of games where he went like 80-something percent efficiency off the half back line in that shocking back line.
He's very clean and very composed under pressure, which I really like. And that's really rare to find in a young player as well. I think like, you either have that or you don't.
I think McDonald and Bergman is one that I could switch and be okay with. McDonald, I'm backing him to have another like a comeback year.
And by all reports, it's going in the right direction for him. So that's really good.
And obviously him being the co-captain needs to be in this team.
Yeah.
But Bergman, if McDonald wasn't captain and maybe hadn't had 10 years of service or whatever he's done so far, I don't know. I think Bergman's cleaner off half back and he offers us something a little bit different, but I'm backing McDonald for a big year. Not a massive, like I don't think he's going to be in our top 10 best players, but
I think he'll have a good year. I think he'll have a good return. Year. Definitely. I think he and Simpkin, and we've spoken about this, I think both of them will have better seasons than they had last year.
Yeah. No, I agree. Definitely. The other one that I've talked a little bit about and I know nobody agrees with is Biggie Nguyen. I think if we're going off how the match sims and things have gone, I think he's been talked about more than Callan Dawson, more than Toby Pink or anyone like that.
Well, he'll probably get his opportunity with Logue sidelined for a while.
Yeah.
But look, again, I'm not against a lot of this is trial and error. And I have no doubt that the side at the end of the year is going to look drastically different to how the side looks.
That's what we said before. We're going to save these and we're going to go through this. Maybe we go through it like halfway through the year as well.
Yeah.
And then we do one at the end and see how much it changed.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I really like Biggie Nguyen. I know he's super raw and he's only played one AFL game, but people speak about Callan Dawson and Toby Pink like they're better options, like they haven't, like the Toby Pink's never played a game. And Callan Dawson's played like four AFL games. So I don't know. I think they're all as raw as each other, to be honest with you. I don't think Biggie's any less raw than a Callan Dawson or like a Toby Pink. I know Toby Pink
is a more mature body.
And 100%. But just because you're older doesn't mean that you're going to be better on an AFL field.
But I would think about having that more mature body. That does make a really big difference.
It does. I
wouldn't downplay that.
I like Biggie's athleticism. I think that's such a massive attribute for two positions, for a key defender. And if he played in key defense, he's going to be that third man up. Like when Majak played, how he would just jump across packs, spoil and take
marks. There's a lot of potential
and
upside.
He's got that athleticism, or in the ruck.
Mm-hmm.
I really think, I know I talked about the Coleman Jones Greenwood, ruck rotation. Put Biggie in the ruck. He's going to jump higher than anyone else. If he can just learn to tap it towards our players or in spots that our midfield can read, he's going to beat most people to the ball.
Yeah.
And I think out of Coleman Jones, Jerry, maybe not Greenwood because he's got midfield sort of skill, but like say Coleman Jones, Jerry and Biggie, I'd probably pick Biggie to pick the ball up off the ground and get a handball out.
100%.
You know what I mean? So, I think he's a real shot to play this year. And I think people might be underrating him a bit. I'm also incredibly open to being like, maybe I'm overrating him because
it's probably a bit of column A, a bit of column B.
100%.
I think they should give him a shot.
Yes.
Again, you've got nothing to lose.
And every like all the other North podcasts and just comments online and that sort of stuff. I haven't heard anyone else put Biggie as an actual shot. I think, and it really does sort of confuse me a bit why people would back Callum Dawson more than any of those other two. But not that I don't like any of them. Like, you know, I obviously want all of them to be really, really good. But I don't know. Just from what I hear and the attributes that Biggie's got, I'd probably give him a shot over the other two. I think the other two may be a more solid options, but I think he's probably got the most upside. Okay. And I think I like building a team around upside more initially more than I do around being solid. But, you know, I'd rather go in attacking in a game and having upside and then losing it by a lot than I would going and losing by like 15 points, but at least we played kind of okay.
Okay, I've got a question for you then on the back of that.
Yeah.
We're going into this, it's a new season, right? 2024, new year. We know that we may charge for finals. I mean, you just don't know, right? You just don't know.
Probably not.
Say, you know, early on in the year, it looks like we're probably going to finish closer to the bottom of the ladder, right? At what point in the season do you swap from we're trying and we want to win every game. We want to go into
Everyone knows, right? We want to win every game.
I just want to put that out there first.
The Further North listeners' money, intellectually, they're high. They're up there.
Okay, good. I really hope everyone wants to win every game because there was a lot of disappointed people at the end of round 23 last year.
Yes,
I wasn't one of them. I was very excited with the win. I know that wasn't shared by a lot of people.
Think about what our brains went through though. People weren't themselves. After 20 losses in a row, Marnie, look, your brain scrambled.
Okay, speak for yourself. I was fine. I was very excited with the win.
You're at your peak. I was excited at the win too. I went into that game wanting to lose. And then by halftime, I was like, I'm so happy we're crushing the Gold Coast.
Yeah, I mean, anyway. You know, stranger things have happened. But
go on, sorry.
So at what, and like I said, we go in every game, we want to win every week. But at what point do we just go, okay, we're gonna start experimenting with the likes of Pink, with the likes of Biggie, you know, a lot of these guys, it's we want to give them a run at some point to see what they're made of, but maybe they don't start in the 23. Mm. At what point do we, you know, how many losses in a row? Or at what point in the season do we actually make that call to say, all right, yep, we're drawing a line in the sand now and we're just going to trial and error?
For me, I would do it the opposite way. I would start with potential and then if it's going bad, then I would switch to something more reliable. I think we did it the complete wrong way last year, playing Kane Turners and playing, I'm going to say Darcy Tucker, you know.
Dan Howe.
Dan Howe. Yes, Dan Howe, absolutely. I think that was the wrong way around. I think that was wrong.
We did have an element of it though. Like, don't forget,
we did.
Sherry started in round one last year. Gold's team was nowhere to be seen. We did have Goda and Bergman also.
Did people really think Sherry would be better than Gold's team though? Look, I think as an example for this, most people I've heard speak think Dersma won't play round one, but McKercher will.
Yeah.
Why we wouldn't throw Dersma in from round one baffles me. Why not? Just his element of chaos. You never know what he's going to be. Even if he's playing badly, he's a number three draft pick. Yeah. Play him every game and just get minutes into him. He doesn't need to be a star until 2 or 3 years' time. Like, what are we doing? Why would we drop someone and then just put a guy like a Kane Turner back in for stability? That's not stability. 4 out of 10 or 3 out of 10 every week isn't stability. Like, we just did it the complete wrong way last year. We went to the same old thing to play it safe. Just go for it. We know what North Melbourne is. North Melbourne's a team at the bottom of the ladder. We've got so much talent. We're rebuilding and the future looks exciting. But those players, those safe players aren't
the
future.
We won't get to where we need to be if we don't start
100%
putting games into youth. Yeah, you know, it's interesting.
And this is almost like the Paul Curtis thing, which is like I agree with you that Paul Curtis can be incredibly rogue, but I would rather bet on a guy who can be a 10 out of 10 or a 3 out of 10 than I would a guy who's going to be a 6 out of 10 every week. So that will lead to bigger losses, but that will also lead to more exciting wins. And if it does click, I'm not saying stick with it for the entire year for everybody, but – I would much rather go in shooting for the stars and then getting, you know, hitting the ground pretty hard than I would playing it safe and playing very mediocre football. Like, as much as I loved and I've spoke to you about this, I know we sort of disagree. The first two wins of last year were fantastic and I was so happy, but was it good football? Was it the football I want to play moving forward and watch? Absolutely not. They were gritty. They were gross. We fought it out and you've always got to win games like that. But Was I impressed with the way we played in any of those two games? Absolutely not. I'm stoked we won, and I was ready to say we're going to go 23-0, but which which turned very, very severely. But it's not the way we want to play. That Gold Coast game, and yes, it was the last round, whatever you want to make, that's the way I want to play. And I think playing a Dersma, playing a Curtis, even like putting a Braden George in for a little bit of chaos and a little bit of unknown with higher upside, I would much rather go before we then resort to being safe. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does make sense.
What do you think? Would you do it the opposite way? Like we sort of did it last year?
I'd have a mix. I think you've got to have a mix. Another guy we haven't spoken about at all is Liam Shields. He's obviously signed on for another year as well.
True.
And he was actually excellent for us last season. But I don't, and I'm contradicting myself because I want Greenwood in there, but I think they have a completely different skill set.
Yeah.
Liam Shields is a really good player.
Yeah.
And he really added something to the side last season. But I don't want Liam Shields as part of this best 23.
Yes.
I think he needs to be there for depth. I think he needs to be there, you know, when we do just need a little bit more guidance and a little bit more experience.
Yeah.
But if Liam Shields is playing week in, week out, and I know that, and I said this about Tucker before, but again, things have changed with Tucker, in my opinion anyway. But with Shields, if he's playing every single week, this is no doubt going to be his last season. So I think there's
The benefit of it?
I think there's,
because his benefit is on the training ground, and his like I can fully see a benefit of him being in the 23 to be that on-field
and
coach.
To have him there for elements of the game and having him at the club in general.
But this is the part where we've got to start rogue. We've got to start with the most potential, even if it leads to worse losses at the start initially, and then if it's not working, we bring someone like that in to steady the ship and maybe be that on-field coach. Like I'm just looking at the play, so I've got other written here, and you know, finally our list is getting some depth.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's not good enough compared to other lists, absolutely. But, you know, just I'm going to read up some players that I don't have in my 23 here. And you've got Bergman. I'd say these are players that I would be happy in the 23. I'm going to leave off Braden George only because hasn't played a game yet. And I'm more talking about players that have played and
neither is
Dersma. No, I agree. It's more just the upside from Dersma and after playing the match sims. I think Braden George has only played one match sim. I'm excited about him too. Don't get me wrong. Like I really want to see Braden George play.
Just making up rules as he goes, guys. But anyway, that's all good. Keep going.
I'm reading out these names just for players that I think could come in to steady the ship. That was more my point.
Okay.
So like a Bergman has played, a Goda has played, Tom Powell. I mean, Curtis Taylor, I don't really see him being in this team at all. I think maybe he's delisted at the end of the year. Our team definitely gets less handsome, which is hard for us. And who is going to get in to see Harry Styles and see all the big stars? I'm not sure. Darcy Tucker and Liam Shields are the epitome of two players that come in when our young talent maybe hasn't quite hit the mark and they will steady the ship.
Yeah.
I guess Callum Dawson-Lazaro, yes and no. I mean, then maybe not the steadiest. But I think like Bergman, Goda, Powell, maybe a Curtis Taylor, Tucker and Shields for me are players that can come in and I'd be like, look, I feel bad for Powell because he has got a lot of upside but he maybe hasn't quite hit the mark. But like I think they can come in and I'd be like, look, I'm glad they're in there to steady the ship a bit, but I maybe don't think they've got the potential of some of the guys that I've put in the 23
already.
Yeah,
and that's totally fair enough. And I just, and I think it comes back to this age-old discussion, which I'm sure a lot of supporters share the same gripe. It's that we haven't, for the last sort of 4 or 5 years, we haven't drafted to our needs.
Mm.
And I know that Joel spoke about this before last year's draft. You know, with those top-end picks, you draft on talent and best available talent, and then later on you draft on needs. But that's kind of left us in a position where we have so many midfielders who could be something and none of them have had the opportunity to be something.
Guys like Lazaro and guys like Powell not making it into this sort of team when we're at the bottom of the ladder is bad drafting.
Lazaro, Powell and Phillips should all be in a best 23 somewhere.
I think Phillips is. I agree he's
somewhere,
probably on
I'm not
the,
just talking about North. I'm saying they're all talented enough that they should be in – they really should be in a best 23 somewhere.
Yeah, maybe not Lazaro. Maybe. I think he's borderline. Like, I don't think Lazaro.
I think if he played consistently, he would get, you know, he would he would get
potentially.
A game.
Look, all I'm meaning by that is I think Powell is and Phillips have much more upside than Lazaro though.
But even, I mean, Phillips is a really interesting one just in general. We obviously both had him on our benches. At what point do you say step up or step aside? Because I thought this year was sort of make or break for him personally. Yeah. But I've had a change of heart. I think he still needs another two or three seasons.
Possibly. I mean, look, I think it's time to we stop talking about him being out for a year with his illness and stuff. You know, it's been a whole year since then. This is the year. Like I can understand having a year out of footy coming back. I think he was unfairly dropped as well.
Yeah,
sometimes
in and out
last
of the season.
But I think that was Brett Ratten just doing Brett Ratten things. And, you know, as much as I love Rats for coming and stepping in, I did say last year that I don't think he's a great coach.
No, he's not.
You know, I think
we didn't win any games. If Clarko is in charge all of last season,
I think we get 2 to 3 more wins.
I think so too. There are definitely games he would have
finished
out.
Those Saints games, those Bombers games, the Sydney game.
The thing with Phillips, I think Phillips is a, I've forgotten the word now. He's a player that is a consistency player. I think that confidence player. Yes. That's what I'm looking for. Far out my brain. He's a confidence player. Having Phillips in the side playing 2 or 3 or 4 really good games and then dropping him to
agree.
That is just the wrong approach with him. I think you need to just trust him and say you do what you need to do.
Yeah.
I think this is the year where he locks himself into the 23.
Yeah.
And then I think in the next sort of 2025, 2026 is when he actually kind of hits his stride. Think about how long it took LDU to kind of hit that level this man, we're actually talking about
him. We forget Phillips was a number 3 pick too.
Yeah.
Like that's the thing. I don't see him as a player with anywhere near the talent of a Davies Uniacke or a Wardlaw, but he was pick 3.
But you actually don't know. He could be.
Yeah, I agree.
He could be. But there's obviously they've seen something and take him at pick 3.
He had his role change as well though, right?
And I think he actually played really well last season.
Yeah, when he went sort of more inside mid though.
Yeah.
Because him on the outside, I don't think he's quick enough or maybe athletic enough. I know they're all athletes, but like not athletic enough, like a Jai or someone like that on the outside to step someone to break away from a pack. But him, and it was like a wish version of Joel Selwood, right? Because Joel Selwood's a great player. He's a grub, but he's a great player. Where him doing that dirty work on the inside, feeding it out to an LDU, a Wardlaw, a Taran, a Sheasel, I think is his role.
Yeah.
But that was the first time last year he's also played that. So I really hope they're training him in that sort of semi-inside mid-role because I think that's the spot. We've got too many outside runners now or too many cleaner players on the outside for Phillips to be that too. He's not a winger. They've tried him on the wing. He's not a half forward. He needs to be in the midfield sort of getting the ball out and using his clean disposal. That's where the way he'll make it into the team. And I think he will. I back him completely. But, yeah, I think out of all of those midfielders, he is one that clearly there's pressure because a Lazaro, a Powell, you know, all these sort of guys, a Tucker, all these guys could come in and take his spot. There's guys like LDU, you know, Sheasel, Thomas, even Zerha going into the midfield. I think they're all easily going to be in this team and more too talented to not put in their positions.
Yeah.
Phillips is maybe in that next tier down and he could easily get to that top tier, but he needs to do it this year, I would say.
I think patience is definitely something that I know I need to like embrace more with this side and with these players because like you said, this is a long-term game. It's not a short-term game. However, it would be nice to win a few more games in the short term.
Well, look, I've made very vocal that I think we'll be bottom four fairly comfortable this year, but I couldn't really care where we finish. It's more about the way we play and the amount of wins we get.
You want improvement.
If we get 6 wins and we're not easy beats and we see Wardlaw take another step and we see Dersma come in or McKercher and see more talent, stoked. Couldn't care if we're 17th. Honestly, like give us another number 2 pick. Sweet. We know if we go from 3 to 6 wins and a 16th, 17th, that's a step. And I'm happy with that. I don't really care, you know, if we don't take a big leap. I don't care if we're pushing for finals even next year. Like 2025 and onwards, yeah, I think that's the time where hopefully we're starting to really start to move up. We're in that 12th to 10th or maybe are pushing for the finals. I'm fully in this for the long run. If we don't win a premiership in 2040 and I watch another 15 years of chaos but we're slowly improving, sweet. It doesn't bother me. As long as we're trending in the right direction, I'm not too concerned about how big or small the step is, but it needs to be consistent.
If we haven't won a premiership by 2040, God
well, that's
help
very,
me.
Very possible, Marnie. I mean, tell that to the Saints fans, you know?
I'd rather not. I'd really rather not do that.
Well, Is there anyone else you want to talk about? I mean, we haven't talked about Cooper Harvey.
We haven't talked about Harvey. Braden Drury is another one. Hanson Jr. I mean, these are all guys that I'm sure at some point will get a game.
I don't think Drury's making it into the side personally.
I disagree.
I didn't see anything in the games he played to suggest that he's got it. I think he could show that. Like Charlie Lazar, I think he's a good VFL player. And with opportunity, maybe that comes. But
I think he gets another shot.
I think he gets a shot, absolutely. I don't know his position. I don't think – what is he, either a half-back or a small forward? And I don't see him in any of those positions personally. He needs to find a position because he didn't kick any goals, I don't think, last year. I know he only had like 4 games or something, but you've got to do what you can with the games.
Just give him a shot.
Robert Hanson Jr.?
I'm on the fence.
Because I think Hanson Jr. probably has more upside than a Blake Drury.
I think so too. He's a bit older.
But he's
a lot more
raw. Well, once again, this is that debate of consistency over, talent, where it's like I would say Drury, if we need some more stability, probably Drury. And that's crazy to say with only 4 games of experience. But like I would back him to be more of a consistent player than I would Robert Hanson Jr. But I also say on his day, Hanson Jr. has the ability or the skill set to be able to kick 3 or 4 and do some crazy things.
There's been some good reports coming out of the Match Sims as well around Hanson Jr. I think they should – he didn't do anything with the opportunity he had last year. But I'd like – again, it's – and we had the discussion the other week. I'd like to see him have a bit of a shot and just say, show us what you can do. And I think a lot of these players also just need to take responsibility.
Yeah.
A lot of these players who are fringe players would know that they would have little opportunity. So make the most of it when you do.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, there's more pressure now. The squad is filling out more. Look at some of the names we read off, off from the bench. Like, Bergmans, Goaters, Braden George, Tom Powell, Tucker. These guys are going to be pushing for spots.
Yeah.
So they need to make sure they take advantage of it. And there's actual pressure now.
100%.
I think. I would also say there's also a part of me that hopes players maybe down the pecking order like a Blake Drury or someone like that doesn't get heaps of opportunity because that would suggest injuries and things like that.
Yeah.
Like definitely. Imagine last year if we had like Taron and LDU and Zerha and Wardlaw all only played half the season.
Yeah.
They're all
Charlie Comben.
Comben, yeah, absolutely. They're all in our 23 easily. They're in our top 10 to 15 best players.
And automatically this side will look different round one because there's a few
injuries and
players here.
Questions
that are
over
injured
certain
and,
players. Yep.
Yeah, exactly. But
absolutely.
I think having this debate and having this discussion and this doing this exercise, I think actually proves that there is a lot more upside probably than people want to give us credit for.
Yeah.
But now it's up to the players to actually step up and to execute.
It's a full preseason of Clarkson too. I'm pretty certain Clarkson's going to be there the whole year. Watch that come back to buy me. But like, we should be having a full season of Clarkson. This is the first full preseason. He didn't get a preseason last year because he got signed late.
Yeah.
So, they should be more drilled and ready to go. The injury list is a little bit concerning, I would say. A little bit. There's nothing long term to worry about.
But I don't think any of those positions, like take Logue as an example or Eddie Ford. I mean, these two guys Fisher, there's still a chance that Fisher will start round one.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
Okay, but so Fisher, say Logue, say Eddie Ford, and I mean, Sherry, we don't know if he'll play round one either. That we still have enough cattle that we should be able to field a pretty strong side come round one this year.
Yeah, I would hope so. I would hope so. But
time will tell.
Look, any other points you want to make about any players here? I'm just looking at some names. I mean, what about some of the rookies? Like, it's Will Dawson, right? Riley Hardiman.
I think
Goad.
Yeah, I think all of them should get a chance at some point this year.
Do you think this many players are going to get
Finn into that mix?
Oh, Finbar. Yeah, it's crazy. Let's chat about those 3 rookies, then we'll chat some Finbar and then maybe we finish it up. We're going to end with Finbar chat, guys. And if that's not the best way to end a podcast, leaving you wanting more, I don't know what is. There's a part of me that wants them all to get opportunities. Do we think it's good if Pink, Nguyen and Callum Dawson get opportunities? No, because that means either there's injuries or the player that they originally picked hasn't worked out.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, last season, think about the injury list just never seemed to end.
Yeah. So I kind of want none of these guys to get opportunities. Well, so that means we found a 23. I don't mean that as in I don't want them to play, but you know what I mean, right?
But like I'm thinking about all the guys that did get a chance last season. You know, you had Phoenix. I can't believe I have managed to say that name on another podcast.
Oh my God.
But you had Spicer in there for a large period of time. You had Howe coming through. You had Turner coming through. You had Drury had a shot. Hansen Jr. had a shot.
Perez.
All these, Perez, like, you know, Cunnington again was in and out of the side a little bit as well. All these guys had opportunities because of form or because more so because of injury. And I think that I'm just thinking back to last season and how many guys got a chance. So
I think we had the most players used.
Well, naturally, I'm sitting here thinking, oh, yeah, we'll have 40 players, 45 players to rotate through the senior side.
I can't. Please, no.
I hope not. And that's why I'm thinking, oh, yeah, all these guys will get a shot. Realistically, they probably won't.
No, but that's kind of good because it means we found consistency. And I think the consistency is the thing we need. You know what I mean? And I know that sounds like I'm going against what I was saying before with upside, but what I mean is like, you know, put in these players with more upside that are more rogue in round one. And then if they stay in this team and we get that consistency from them, that means the talent is developing and it's coming through and we're on the right path.
We want the Levi Greenwood effect, right? Levi Greenwood came into the side, you know, in the first few rounds of 2014, for ages, you know, he could never get his body right. He was kind of in and out of the side. That utility came in about five or six games into 2014 and was undroppable. He finished third in the best and fairest that year before he went to Collingwood, right? Yeah. But that's what you want. You want a player to have such an impact that you actually can't drop him.
Yeah, and that's by all reports, Darcy Tucker's sort of doing that.
My guy, Tucker Watch.
Marnie's going to do a separate podcast called The Tucker Box and she's going to talk about Darcy Tucker and she's going to go, Darcy Tucker is feeding on that footy.
But this is exactly what we want. 2 weeks ago I sat here in the same spot and I said I'd be worried if he was getting a game every single week. Now I'm sitting here and I'm like, how can you drop him?
It's good problems to have.
100%.
It's good problems to have.
So I think that's what I want from these kinds of players.
You know what I want, Marnie? I want everyone who's listening to this in the comments of YouTube to hashtag the Tucker Box when Darcy Tucker does something so Marnie can see. Hashtag the Tucker Box on all Marnie's stuff, all my stuff, and let's get this trending because it's 2024 is year of the Tucker Man, and I think it's time for him to be our best and fairest winner for season 2024. You heard it here first from Marnie.
Marnie thinks
Darcy Tucker is going to win the best and fairest for North Melbourne. Arguably all Australian as well.
This has escalated way more than I intended it to. No. But Tucker Watch. I'm on.
Hashtag the Tucker Box, guys. Seriously.
Finbar. I'd love to see him play this year at some point.
You know what? I could fully see him, say we're down by 50 points at halftime, right? Mm. And all the lads go back into the locker room and their heads are down. Finbar goes, boys. Yeah. Hand me that six string guitar. And Finbar starts doing his little country songs, riles the troops, and we come back from 50 points down and get the win. I reckon Finbar will do that at least 2 to 3 times this year.
That sounds like something out of Hollywood, but let's go for it.
Absolutely. I'm confused with Finbar because I think he's played back in both of the match sims.
Okay, well, maybe they're just not happy with the other options at the moment.
Yeah, but we've got more. We need someone to be a ruckman or a forward.
Like, okay, but
so much more than a backman. Like we've at least, I'm not saying they're the best options, but we've got Biggie and Pink and Dawson to be those key defenders alongside Core, Comben and Logue.
But I think you need backup for Comben.
Absolutely, but like
Comben,
you've got those in those three. Like who's the backup for Larky?
You know, Greenwood.
Well, Paul Curtis won't be getting a game for you, so maybe he can come in and do it. Maybe Paul, you don't have Paul Curtis and Jaden Stevenson, so maybe Paul Curtis can put Jaden Stevenson on his shoulders and they can pretend to be one guy.
Superhuman.
And they can just run out of full forward with a big trench coat over both of them. Look, our ruck stocks and key forward stocks are the two weakest stocks in our entire team. Please develop Finbar as one of those. Please, for the love of God. I don't know. I don't know if someone just double dog dared Alistair Clarkson not to have any forwards or ruckman on this list. And he's just like, it's some sort of sick joke. And Clarko's going to win us a premiership and go, I did that with barely any key forward or ruckman on the team. I'm the greatest coach of all time. Unless that's his plan, putting Finbar in the back line when we at least have six options that could play and barely any in those other two baffles me.
Defending is arguably the hardest thing to master.
Yes, but we've got stocks there that we need to be doing that with regardless of Finbar.
That's not where I was going with this. He's cut me off again, guys.
Don't start this. Don't make this a thing, Marnie. Don't do this. Don't cancel me.
Maybe he's just playing in defense in these match sims to learn the craft. To give him
the Robbie Tarrant
an extra,
paradigm.
Well, you've got to give these players an extra dimension maybe when they're going forward. Not only do you want a forward to be able to kick goals, but you also want him to chase and tackle, and it's a work rate thing.
This is why people listen to the Further North podcast, Marnie, for incredible AFL insight. What you're telling me is play him on Nick Larkey so he becomes Nick Larkey.
It's just being able to add an extra dimension to his game. Think about Charlie Combin, right, when he, first half of last year, he was so dangerous. He was tackling, he was marking, he was pushing up the ground, he was creating play. Now, those sorts of things don't necessarily come naturally to all players. And there's a big criticism of the side, I would say, in the past as a whole, is that there's a lot of one-way runners in there.
Mm.
Make him a two-way runner. Make him work for his own ball. So maybe it's just an educational piece. Maybe he does end up playing forward in the second half of the year. I don't know. But maybe that's the direction we're going down.
Too many unanswered questions here. I think we need to get Alistair Clarkson on the podcast. Do you reckon you could network that?
Leave it with me.
Leave it with me. All right, I'm done. Just drop the mic, Marnie, and walk out the door, to be honest. Leave it with me. When she says that, there's probably a 90% chance it'll happen too, which is terrifying.
Watch this face.
Okay, that's enough.
I think we're done.
I think we're done. That was a lot of arguing and a lot of agreeing. But what a roller coaster of a podcast.
Yeah, but we always end up on a positive note.
That is true. Finbar chat. Maybe I love him. I should put one of his songs as the outro of the podcast. Now, maybe I'll get him to record something.
Call him. Copyright.
Yeah, it's true. I'll message Finbar and ask if he can record the Further North podcast theme song.
Do it.
That would be sick.
Do it.
Oh, then Finbar would be my favourite. I'm going to buy a Finbar badge this year.
He's now in case he doesn't have enough guys, he's now infiltrating on my guys.
Okay, we can fight over Finbar.
As long as you're on board with Aiden Corr, actually, I don't care.
No. Not yet. I put Aiden Corr in my best 23 and I think he had a great last 2 months like we know. I just want to see more.
Okay, me too.
Yeah, I know you do, but you're already sold, Marnie. I'm not sold.
If you guys want to hear more of our Aiden Corr chat, make sure you buy tickets to the live show.
We will not be talking about Aiden Corr and we will not be talking about Tristan Jerry in the live show. Because I really want to not go down that path all the time with Tristan Jerry. I tried to keep it short and I tried to more talk about why Coleman Jones.
It never
happens
though.
Yeah, but people are sick of hearing it and I'm sick of saying it. So I'm going to try and avoid Tristan Jerry chat as much as possible unless he plays and he's really bad and then I'm going to have to rant. But hey, people know
me. For now, if anyone wants to buy tickets to the live show, you can find the links on all the Further North socials. If anyone wants to talk more about Tristan Cherry, slide into Josh's DMs. He's always down for a chat.
I'm not.
He's always down for Sherry chat. Is there anything else?
Thank you for everyone to watch on YouTube as well. YouTube has been doing very, very well.
Hi, YouTube.
And seeing our stunning faces. Even though I'm a bit of a shambles right now. But that's why Marnie's here. So look, I want to say thank you for everyone watching on YouTube. It's doing very well. Please follow and like the YouTube videos and stuff. I don't really know why you like YouTube videos, but everyone says to do it. So just bloody do it,
and
guys.
Let us know what you think of the 23. We'd love to hear your hot takes as well.
In the comments on YouTube, put down below who you thought won. Is it my 23 or is it Marnie's 23? Should we read out the 23 one more time really quickly?
I don't want to go through it again. I hate mine.
Mine's really good, guys. hashtag the Tucker Box as well, please, for Marnie's stuff on all of her posts. And yeah, Instagram, Facebook, there's all sorts of stuff going on. More stuff about the live show and basically just fun and happy times. Good vibes.
good vibes. If anyone wants to go for breakfast with me next week, let me know.
Don't. You're going to get so many messages, Marnie. You're going to get so many messages.
I was so lonely this morning. So if anyone wants to fill Josh's spot, let me know. That's it. We're done. We're done. Thanks, everyone.
You tell me how many messages you get after saying that. All right. Do that, guys. Yeah, she loves it. See ya. Bye.
Bye.